But, and if you consider the FFB is really associated with the same signal as the FFB is trying to get data from the INQ. So, there's two separate things going on there. But, the Doppler effect, as you said, if you're going over more than 5-6 miles an hour, the Doppler shift is already playing havoc with what he's trying to pick up. Whereas, even though the EVFB receivers are much smaller bit rate, so if they're more, they're able to deal with more reflections and more shifting. But the equalizer is also created to deal with the Doppler shift from motion.
The pilot zone on a digital transmission is something that's transmitted with something like 1 or 2 hertz of accuracy with reference to the two adjacent channels, and I guess with reference to an absolute standard. Is part of the Doppler that Joe experienced when he went beyond 20 miles an hour, let's say, Doppler of that pilot tone, is that some of the aggravation that made his demodulation more difficult? Over to you, Eric.
Now, the problem is that, it's like you got an oscillator, and you lock an oscillator very precisely to one frequency, and you let it free run. And you now have another oscillator that also you adjust it and try and get it perfectly in phase with the next one. And you let them both run on their own, and, you know, as good as you get the capacities and the parts and everything in it so that they're going to be the same, in X period of time, they're going to be running at different phase from one another, right? So we're talking about small changes. But here you have a system of demodulation going on that's capable of tracking really small, slow changes. We're talking about symbol times of less than 100 nanoseconds, and these are short periods of time to do decoding, make sure that you're actually decoding the right thing. Any little disturbance takes a couple of cycles of doing this again to correct itself, and that's why it doesn't stay locked.
Now, during the week, I've been hearing some very pleasant news on the microwave reflector. One or two people who have done some digital television DXing. There also is one group in the Chicago area, or Ohio area, I'm not sure which, and one in the California area, where there is a amateur radio digital repeater in operation, or about, one's in operation, the other one's about to be in operation. So let's go back to digital television DXing. I think I've heard of mileages like 800 miles have been achieved so far under favorable weather conditions. So one of the things for we amateurs to look forward to, who really like studying propagation, is that from time to time, a nice, clean picture from 1,000 miles away is going to appear on that screen, and digital television DXing, it's going to have a little bit more difficulty to it, but I think it's a possibility. What do you think, Eric? K2EJ, K2RIW?
All right, let me elaborate here a little bit. K2RIWK2J. The digital television that you're talking about is actually, when you turn on your satellite receiver, it's the same format. They're transmitting DVD. There's this German group that made a couple of really inexpensive encoders that will do 2 channels, actually, of video. And since today's satellite receivers are like $200 or $300 a piece, and they're S-band, which is the exact nice place to transmit digital television, because you're talking about, you know, 1.2 gigs. These receivers, you don't have to do anything to them except hook them up to your preamp, and that's the easy way for you to decode the digital television. So, merely QPSK is the format that they're transmitting in. But it's digital. I mean, it's 4 symbols. It's real 4 symbols. It could also be APSK, which is 8 symbols. So, but it's the same format that comes down your little dish and goes into your satellite receiver. So that keeps the expense of the whole thing down. To do it in APSB, nobody's done it yet. I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to be the first one, but I want to do it without using commercial stuff. So, I mean, I have some spare commercial stuff I could do it with tomorrow, but I don't want to do that. K2RIWK2J.
Are you setting up a digital repeater or a digital transmitter for amateur radio purposes about the tiny antenna I just picked up there. How about that? And you're possibly going to be using some of his printed circuit antennas, or and what frequency region are you favoring right now? S-band, L-band?
Well, it's going to be 70 centimeters would be one input and an output. 1.2 will be an input and an output. And I was thinking 3.5 have an input and an output. So, you know, it'll either be AM or FM or digital. The digital may be shared on the UHF because that's easy to get a regular you know, converter box and just a little bit of a frequency converter in front of it to get it to work. So that might be the cheap way to go.
Any possibility that you will believe that the slightly different subject count, because the repeater that we're now transmitting through has even better front-end sensitivity, but I noticed that both Howie signal and Mel signal were a little bit noisy. Is that a coincidence, or has there been a change in the antenna pattern in that direction? Eric, go ahead.
No, actually, the receiver sensitivity is up from what it was because the repeater is no longer desensing itself. The power output is up because it's got a real amplifier that works. And as far as the antenna system goes, nothing has changed. The duplex is the same. The antenna is... There's a little ice on the antenna, but beyond that, nothing's different.
Okay, good to know. When it comes to the VoIP linking into the 147.375, or the linking between it and the 2.5 machine, all of that is this week working normally. Eric, go ahead.
All of that is in the audio path. It has nothing to do with RF.
Understand. Joe, I wonder if you had any further comments you wanted to make. It sounds like a fascinating experiment that you did this week. What did the antenna look like on your vehicle? And was all of this being powered by the cigarette lighter or the battery of the car? And the H-U-R-Y-Y, H-U-R-I-W.
Take the KY off the question about this.
Okay. Joe first.
The antenna used was a quarter wave, 800 megahertz antenna. The power source of all of this stuff was a portable 110-volt inverter.
And this was all run from your automobile. I presume you put all this in the trunk or in the back of the station wagon. Is that how you set this up? And the 800 meg quarter wave whip. Huh. That wasn't necessarily tuned to the UHF channel, so to speak. The sensitivity there could have been a little less than ideal. What do you think, Joe?
Well, let's see. A quarter wave at 450 is about 6 inches. A quarter wave at 800 is about 3 inches. Are you going to nitpick about a couple of inches? It received quite adequately as far as signal strength. And I know it received because I was able to pick up channel 2 WCB. The only one I could really pick up maybe is channel 2 and channel 5 quite easily at the intersection of Pine Lord Road and the South Service Road as I was going eastbound. So I stayed on the service road for quite a while. It was a stop. I was able to get a digital picture from them. I couldn't pick up the other channel because that's the other side of the hill by 110. Yes, it was a fascinating experiment. Here's something in addition to that. As I was sitting on the South Service Road by exit 46 facing eastbound, I could get an analog picture from channel 67 in Middle Island, but I could not get a digital picture from the same location. And I don't know how much less power they're running from one mode to another mode, but I would imagine it can't be that tremendously different from what they're doing right now. That's one thing I also want to observe. And I had a very good picture of analog, and I could not get anything that the decoder would lock up with on in digital mode. And by the way, those Zenith converters you mentioned, Eric, the Zenith 901, DTC 901, that's now superseded, seated by a DT. Yeah, DTT 900 is now the DTT 901, and vice versa, the same brand made by LG under a different name insignia.
Okay, that's good. And I've had the bypass relay in it. Yeah, the impulse noise from the car could be an issue that you might not be aware of. Or when you go, when you're passing other cars, is it making ignition noise? Don't tell you. Are you talking about Channel 55?
I'm talking about Channel 67. They used to be known as SNL. I have no idea what the call letters are now. I didn't pay attention to the call letters. Channel 67 from Middle Island. It's transmitting from the tower in Middle Island. I was able to watch the picture, a good, clean picture, relatively clean picture, on analog. Cannot get them on in digital. Now, I'm not sure if my decoder is being overloaded by your signal, because it's also, you know, across the street near the tower.
What channel are they on digital?
DT23. So that's kind of right next to yours, isn't it?
Yeah, no, if you're anywhere close to me, it'll wipe out the front end. That's a little close. I mean, if it was another channel, I'd say, yeah, but like LMY, they've got a transmitter out there, and I think it's only 1,000 watts, so, you know, it barely makes it past Game Hill.
I also did the same test when I went further out east, much further out east, and I sat on top of one of the hills and seldom in a parking lot that enabled me a good view of the North Shore of Willamette in Connecticut. And I was able to easily pick up three digital channels from Connecticut. And by the way, they are still running a channel 61 analog from Connecticut that is viewable on Long Island. The hills and the Sullivan's as I went south on the the parking place where I was, and I went south, I could see it down at the Patchwork. I could still see it carry on channel 61 analog.
Yeah, well, before they wrecked the Canada Empire, that used to be the problem when you went out east, is that 61 in Hartford would just make it impossible.
What's the number of miles, Eric, between 61 in Hartford and 61 in Empire? And that sounds like a fair number of people midway between the two might be getting a kind of co-channel interference. Those are two different channels, if I understand correctly. Go ahead, on the same frequency region.
Yeah, well, that ends on the, you know, in 27 days if things don't change, so it's no longer an issue. They were aware of that. There was communication between the stations before that selection occurred. You know, really, in the beginning, the FCC allocated you where you were going based on their studies, so blame them.
Did that come about because there were too few UHF channels that weren't already allocated? That sounds like an error may have taken place.
No, if you look at the map of where TV stations are, you can see that I think it's put in a 270-mile boundary. If you look on a map and look at all the little dots of TV stations around, you'll see that just about every frequency is occupied within a certain number of miles. So, you know, there are rules as far as how close they can be and how many DBU is acceptable in the great. These zones, you know, it's not one simple explanation, but it's being far enough away and it was an open space.
You said 200 and some odd miles. I can't believe that there's 200 miles between Empire and Hartford.
No, it's not that far. It's maybe 100 miles, if that much. But the contours show no overlap. It's been a long time since I've looked at it. It's been years since I looked at it. But anyway, that's what we got wound up with.
Okay, and you've lived with it. If you had to make an estimation right now, what percentage of the audience of Channel 13 is able to receive Channel 61?
Oh, a lot less than used to be able to. How many people are on digital television? You ask yourself that question. Because they'll tell you to go to Weather Plus on cable on the network, but they won't tell you to go to the local digital, which has Weather Plus on channel 4.2. on why none of the broadcasters have bothered to make their audience aware that their sub-channels exist is beyond me.
I hear you.
Go ahead, Joe.
Here's something I happen to also observe with the converter. The one converter I tested. I put one particular TV channel with that was very strong, and I put, let's see, 6 dB padding in it. With zero padding, I got an indication of about 94 on the meter, okay? Put 6 dB padding in there, went down to 81. Put another 6 dB padding, went down to 71. Put 3 dB more padding, went down to 51. 3 more, went down to 41. So it's absolutely not linear. Okay, now that same receiver, this is what I noticed, is just raw open signal strength. I sat in one location, and I let the peak meter run on the box because it actually just was displaying numbers that would vary up and down about 5, 6, maybe 8, 10, 12 numbers. But I let it score the peak reading. I got a peak reading sitting stationary of channel 2 of 93 on the meter. Channel 4 was 77, 5 was 91, 7, which is digital 45, was 74, 9, which is digital 38, was 72, 11 was 87, and channel 13 was 74. So they're not really all up there but like they should be. 25, which is digital 24, was 90. 31 was about a 63, 64, something like that. And something also I observed. Channel 63, well, I don't know what it is digital. I didn't catch what it was digitally. I have to notice because I was recording how many channels I could get. I was able to get DTV 63 at 63.1, .2, .3, .4, and .5. How many channels can you actually transmit in a 6 megahertz bandwidth? What's the maximum?
No, 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 there's no maximum. How loud do you want your picture to look? You've got a total of 19.39 megabits to play with. In there, you can put 100 channels if you want. As long as you don't take up more than 19 megabits, you're okay. You might be transmitting 100 still pictures, you know, and using only 5 megabits worth of space. So, it's your choice. You can do as much or as little as you want, but, you know, when it comes to motion and having nice looking pictures, less is better.
Go ahead, Gordon, W2TTT.
I've been for most of the night. I guess that's as soon as the devil game ended tonight, I took my set in my shack, just put a half pigtail, like a 1 foot pigtail, used my thumb as an antenna. And I picked up a whole mess of stations, but the interesting thing that you'll find is that I was looking at channel 50, which is analog, and channel 50.1 is actually translating up the RF slot that was the old channel 51. And both of their HD channels, and one of them was replicating what was on the analog, were crystal clear, perfect, whereas the analog is a mess, frankly, with my thumb and antenna. So, you know, it's kind of neat. When it works, it's going to work really, really well. So, I think that's going to be kind of interesting to watch. It's going to be easy to detect when a good signal comes in on the DX side, because you'll be able to actually do the processing to see when the ADSB syncs up coherently. And, you can actually alarm on that and start doing data recording and things like that once it starts to come in with a certain threshold of reliability. So there's all sorts of automation opportunities you can put into this game as well. So anyway, KTRW and Crystal will be two teams.
I wonder if you're in your automobile or at home, Gordon. For the first 8 seconds or so, I was hearing a very raspy noise, like your phase-lock loop was breaking up. Then it calmed down, sounded beautiful. Your audio is a little bit lower than it should be. I think you could use a little bit more audio. The channel 50 you were watching, which I think is coming from New Jersey, I watch channel 50 also here from Long Island, and Okay. So the input connector is an S connector. How did you put your thumb on the S connector? Your finger isn't that small, Gordon.
No, I used a 1 foot pigtail and just put my finger on the protruding semiconductor and just kind of held it with three fingers. The other two fingers not on the sleeve, but on the insulation on top of the shield and cable.
Thank you, Steve.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. I was doing some experiments here with the converter, the Zenith 901 converter. And I noticed that when a plane come in here, you know, sometimes they stack the plane here, right over the ocean here, to my ocean to the south of me. And as they, you know, rotate them into Kennedy Airport, they start to descend, and they come over here, and depending on the weather conditions, sometimes somewhat low. I noticed the picture just breaks up. In other words, this is something that we'll have to live with. Is that correct?
I think the answer is yes. We're going to turn it over to Eric in a minute for an opinion on that. So I think you're saying the Kennedy Airport aircraft, under certain weather conditions, their weather pattern goes right over Dover Street, where you live, and they're probably, 1,000 feet above your house at that time? Mel, what do you think?
Oh, no, that's still quite high. Not, making an objectual noise in the wintertime. You don't get your heart to fairly here in the summer. You know, you'll look up, they'll attract, attention. However, point is that I noticed one day last week when I was fooling around with it, the picture was, on whatever channel I tried, when one of those planes were coming over, one night, the 747, the picture just became a chopped up mess, and I guess this will be what we'll really be dealing with, I'm sure, for the future, over.
Now, when it comes to analog television, Channel 25 from Brooklyn, I am guessing is one of the closest ones to you. I am guessing Channel 25, NYE, I think it is, also has a digital channel. And I wonder if you had a chance to watch that one that was very close. Did you see the same thing? Question number one. Question number two, what were you using for an antenna? Was it from the inside of your house or the outside of your house? What was the actual antenna when you were doing this experiment, Mel? Go ahead.
25 analogs on Empire, 25 digital, which was 24, is on 4 from about Times Square.
Oh, so it's not that close. But still, what were you using for an antenna, Mel?
Well, the strongest station that comes in here is the one that's near downtown Brooklyn on Brooklyn Tech, the Calv Avenue. What I'm using is, basically, I have two antennas in the attic that are WineGuard antennas, VHF, UHF antennas, and perfect reception on analog and whatever UHF I've ever, looked at. Like I said, not a big TV watcher, so don't go by me, but if I tuned through all the channels, 2 through 13, and went through the number of UHF channels I picked up, there was every one of them, whatever I had tuned in, was always really rock solid, clean as can be. And now, I can say, the box is worked. I got 30 channels coming in, but let an airplane come over and they just, whatever one I was looking at broke up, chopped up picture over.
That chopped up picture, how long did it last? I mean, did it drop out 50% of the time, every couple of seconds while the aircraft was overhead? How long did it last? What did the dropouts look like, Mel, there?
That looked like the film busted, for a second, a couple of seconds, you see the frame just locked up there, but somewhat, with like lines in it, but the audio disappeared instantly, over.
So I think I'm understanding correctly, both audio and video disappeared. How long did they stay out? Were you watching the signal transmitter during the episode? And so were they in and out every 5 seconds, something like that, Mel?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a few seconds. not very long, a few seconds, I watched the meter, you can see the meter fluctuating, and like a flutter. I mean, when the heck did I think sold? I was very fast, when I used to sit with Floyd Bennett a couple times, VHF, UHF contest. 1 year, we won the VHF, UHF contest by sitting in Floyd Bennett and using the planes, I think, because when they get over Floyd Bennett going to Kennedy, you know, they're quite low. And that gave us a good, great tip. We were working from my mobile. We were working great VHF, UHF stations all over the place. This was sitting in a mobile in the parking lot over there behind the building deck. So, you know, that flutter that we were using on a contest, but that same flutter, I guess, picked up the digital TV over.
Interesting. How many watts are you running output right now, Bill?
25.
And you have reason to believe your standing wave ratio is normal?
Looking at it, looks normal.
Okay. You're a little bit noisier than usual. I think it's time to go to your mailbag. So let me make a quick scan here and make sure that Paul, the US2N, doesn't have a report for us or anyone else have any further questions on what we've discussed so far. Give me a call letters right now. KQRIW and TechNet.
Comment at 2 a.m.
Rich recognized. Anyone else?
W2RLL had a comment dealing with Mel's problem there. That's something I observed also.
Okay. Rich and Mel, and Rich and Joe in that order. Rich, go ahead.
Okay, Dick. I'm still turning that problem of a backfill antenna with my mind. You know, if he goes to a local out of the cable with a certain amount, he can make up the loss of the cable can be made up with a higher gain antenna. Or maybe stacking antennas, and I don't know what antennas they are. But I wonder if I'm somewhere in the ballpark.
Right now, you're not in the town. You're not in the county. The cost of changing an antenna on the Empire State Building would eat up your and my salary for a good fraction of our lifetime. That ain't going to happen. So, and to go and put in a more powerful transmitter and the cost of that, that ain't going to happen. I am guessing that if a solution is applied, it's going to be a relatively low insertion loss coil of cable, is my guess. So, I mean, if you and I own the Empire State Building, yeah, we climb up there and pull down a new antenna. Under those union rules or whatever, that's a big deal, is my guess. Let's see if Eric wants to make any comments on that one.
Every time you go up there, you're talking about $100,000 to $300,000 or $400,000.
Well, I guess because of insurance and all that. Well, the original idea, I guess, was found about pulling a polyethylene cable and take the 2 dB loss. You probably get it back into phase. I hope I'm right on that one.
WB2HWW for a question.
I don't think they're going to use polyethylene cables. They don't want the insertion loss. It's going to be some kind of airline. Go ahead, Howie.
I'd like to ask you a question. The difference between analog and this digital stuff, as far as it being robust, how much of the signal do you actually need at the front end of the receiver in microvolts? You know, if you were to take the energy content, let's say you would take, a TV today would take a couple of microvolts, 3 or 4 microvolts, to give you a full firing signal. How strong of a signal do you need compared to the analog to the digital do you need to get a good signal? That's what I like to know, Dick.
Long answer.
Go right ahead.
All right, we're going to talk about TVMV because that's what the television industry is. Okay. A perfect, absolutely very happy front end, not overloaded, really good, solid analog picture is 0 dBmV, okay? 60 dBmV is 1 volt. You figure that.
1 volt, now wait, here's the question. Are you asking 1 volt of RMS at 75 volts across the front end of the receiver?
Did you
Yeah, he's questioning, and so am I. DBMV, to my knowledge, MV stands for millivolts. 6 dBMV would be 2 millivolts. And
60.
Okay, 60 dBMV, yes, is 1 volt. So 0 dBM, 60 dB below a volt, or 66 dB below a volt, is a full analog, probably 47 dB signal to noise ratio in analog. And I think the digital, and by the way, in the case of analog, I believe a 30 decibel signal to noise ratio is a watchable, quiet, snowy picture. Good sync lock, but very snowy picture at 30 dB signal to noise ratio.
Talking 45 at least for signal to noise.
Yeah, 45 is broadcast, 45 to 47 dB signal to noise ratio, I think, is broadcast quality, and that, I think you're saying, is around 0 dBMV. Now, didn't we say that digital has X number of decibels of advantage in threshold over analog? Over you, Eric.
Yes, I did. But the reality is that the tunings are designed and the world is set up to be exactly the same. So the perfect RF level, which actually can be totally irrelevant, especially when you have multipath issues, because that will stop it from working faster than you can sneeze. That level is considered to be the reference level for the whole world. But you'll find the digital receivers will go down to minus 20 and not have a problem in the world. Whereas with the analog set, you'll be watching through the snow.
What's it is this?
I'm just barely hearing you. I'm wearing earphones, and I am hearing you. Howie, go ahead.
Well, that's not me. All right, the question is this. You know, when you have a pair of rabbit ears, you can walk around the room, and as you walk around, you might change the color. So, if you kind of think of that, if you use rabbit ears, you start walking around the room, you can really just knock out the signal and lose lockup and lose data.
I think the answer to your question is yes. As you use rabbit ears to receive digital television and walk around the room, you will be getting picture lockup and picture disappearing. Just like with analog, you get the ghosting coming in and snowing coming in. Now, if I understand correctly, Eric, I believe one of the things you said rapidly in the last transmission was a digital television receiver, as long as the multipath isn't so bad, might be relatively happy and give you a good picture with minus 20 dBMV at the converter. Is that approximately the number?
Yes, I've seen them even a little more sensitive than that. And, you know, the nature of the digital animal is that once you can extract a clock from whatever it is that you're doing, you know, you can get something at it. And with the analog, don't forget that most of the energy is in the sync pulses, so you don't get to see the picture until long after you've gotten a solid lock.
Okay. So I think we, let's see if, I may or may not have heard in the background, Kent, WA5EJB from Dallas. I wonder if you want to make a comment on any of the above, Kent, K2RIW on the tech net.
Wanted to make a comment, you skipped me before.
Kent's not there, Joe, you got it.
Okay, I'll answer these backwards. The only converter specs I've seen on these digital converters so far, of anybody publishing any specs, real meat and potatoes like you like, Dick, a Channelmaster CM7000 had a RF sensitivity of minus 5 dBm to minus 83 dBm. That's number one. And number two, with the comment, the another comment reference to what K2KY was talking about, when I was sitting stationary in front of channel 21's antenna, looking at their DTV signal, okay, as strong as the signal was on the meter, it was like 97, 98, 99, so it was like almost completely filled out. Cars passing by me would make the picture break up. So it's not a matter of signal strength, it's a matter of what gives you a reflection that's going to be the problem.
Am I online? KQRIW, WA5BJD, in the tech net.
WBJB, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay. trying to get in several times, just the delay was killing me. When that car goes by, you do get a ripple of the signal. It gets strong, it gets weak, it gets strong, it gets weak. You're getting some dropout at the bottom. You get just a little bit more signal, that should go away. Theoretically, you get the same coverage with analog and digital. Way they're supposed to be doing the combining factors, but a lot of the guys who did the calculations were a little too optimistic. They recently, about 2 years ago, upped the power of all the digital transmitters, 6.8 dB. I don't know where 6.8 came from. So they have increased the power of the transmitters, one. But they were very, very optimistic as to what the sensitivity of the average TV set was. WA5BJB.
Okay, good to know, Ken. And have you ever tried any digital television reception from a mobile yet, or have any of the guys in the North Texas Microwave Society done any portable digital television reception in motion or not in motion? And have any of them done any television DXing to your knowledge? Over to you, Ken.
But in Texas, it's a crime to watch television while you're driving down the interstate highway. no, I haven't heard anybody doing mobile that way. A couple of years ago, there was a website where a guy, even with the early generation TTV decoders, had a website of photographs of TV stations, in some cases 900 miles away, that he had gotten a good lock-up picture on from TV stations 900 miles away. So under tropical conditions, there is hundreds of miles. We are going to be looking at using the UHF TV stations as a propagation monitor or beacon. The carriers are very, very precise in their frequency, the pilot carriers, very precise. They're accurate typically less than one earth accuracy, and with a good receiver like an ICOM R7000 or one of the Falk 9600s or something like that in the sideband mode, you can hear that pilot from UHF TV stations 300 and 400 miles away 24 hours a day. And it's S1, it's kind of weak. If it's S9, we got a band opening. Over. No problem getting it.
Okay. You got a guess, Kent, as to whether or not Barack Obama will or will not be successful in creating a delay on the February 17th changeover date for digital television versus analog, based on the fact that the Commerce Department ran out of money, the coupons are no longer available, and they were promised to be available up until March. So therefore, he's asking for a delay. Do you think he's going to get it, or do you think he's not going to get it? You might have an opinion on that one. Over to you, Ken.
He'll definitely get the delay.
It would be delayed. I predicted 3 years ago it would be delayed. Whether it was because of the incoming president, or because of Groundhog Day, or because some senator's mother gave him a phone call saying, "Darling, my TV set doesn't work. Make my TV set work again." Over.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, 3 years ago you predicted there was going to be delay. Is the delay going to be a week, a month, 6 months? How much delay do you think is going to be initiated, Kent, to B5EJB, K2LIW?
It will be a ratio of how many angry phone calls to how many senators and congressmen. It will be a ratio of angry phone calls to senators and congressmen. Over.
Great, WW, in a comment.
Go ahead, Howie.
Nice said in the past it would be delayed. I think there'll be a couple of years delay. As far as the president wanting it, all he has to do is say yes. And his crowd is pretty powerful. Nobody's going to say no to him.
Okay, we've had some predictions. Let's wait and see what happens. Now, before Mel opens up his mailbag, let's make sure that we've handled everyone that has questions or comments who are present right now. Give me a call, letter, the name, KQLIW in the TechNet.
I have a question, Dick, actually. I'd just like to hear your opinion on this.
Okay. Anything you can do to make your audio a tiny bit, your RF a tiny bit stronger would help. But if not, I'll pick out the question and repeat it. Go ahead, Howie.
Probably not going to be allowed. continue. HD is nice because it's bad. It's HD. Why shouldn't digital give the capability to HD? And if you were to go to 1,000 lines on analog, forget about it. The bandwidth would be tremendous. We don't have the space. With all the commercial services that there are, they just don't have the room to expand to, say, 12 megacycle bandwidth analog. Yeah, Vic.
Yeah, but last week, Eric brought to our attention that an extremely large number of people have suddenly come on to over-the-air broadcast. And the reason for that is the people who are now out of work, and we're hearing an all-time high in unemployed people. Many of those unemployed people have suddenly realized that, gee, with cable television or fiber television or satellite television, I've slowly been walked into adding this service, adding that service, and my television bill is now $165 per month, and that comes out to close to $2,000 per year. And yes, I enjoy it, but it's a luxury item, and I'm out of work, and I've got to buy medications, I've got to put food on the table, and I've got to pay the rent, and I've got to pay the gas bill and the electric bill. So as people reset their priorities, an awful lot of people are suddenly going over to over-the-air broadcast when they used to be on a more premium service. On top of that, I'll bet you that one half of the people on cable TV also are using a set of rabbit ears somewhere in the house, like the television set in the kitchen, under the counter, is running on rabbit ears. It gets one channel, the rabbit ears are carefully tuned, and they watch the news in the morning as they're eating their breakfast, because they haven't bothered wiring that to the rest of the system in the house. I bet you half the people are doing that. So there's a hell of a lot of over-the-air broadcast in hidden ways taking place and increasing. Until our economy straightens it out, there's going to be a lot of them out there. You may be predicting that over-the-air broadcast is going to cease to exist in a couple of years. I do not believe that. We may de-emphasize it so much, but it has 55 years, 60 years of history. You don't suddenly cancel that history. There's a lot of rural areas where it would be too expensive to install cable, and people have nothing but over-the-air broadcast. For a bunch of reasons, over-the-air broadcast is going to be around for decades, I believe. See, we got people out there with that, an open opinion. Give me a call, letters right now. K2RAW in the TechNet.
Okay, Georgia.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, the broadcasters themselves are looking at their own demise, so to speak. That's why we'll see their move to the internet with a bigger presence and offering more stuff and more services. You're left out for the rural folks that there's also satellites. But the thing about localism, now if you look at the radio stations throughout the country, you'll find that there's nothing more than transmitters in a locked building. A couple of phone lines that hook up to Chicago or whoever the network that bought up all the individual station owners. There's very few independent radio stations. And out in the Midwest and the Plains States, how important it is to let people know when a tornado is coming. When you need to get the information out and you go to knock on the door of the transmitter, but there's nobody there. That's one particular set of problems. The broadcasters also are suffering like the rest of the folks are in terms of money. Auto advertising is more than 60% of their income, and a lot of it ain't there anymore. So they're looking for other ways to make money. So it does have a dwindling nature to it. Let me interrupt. There are both sides of the coin in terms of how broadcasting is going to be. It'll be there. It may not look like it, but it looks like today. And what the profit center is, whether or not they're allowed the media conglomeration ownership that they have now, if they break that up into small things. So the landscape is totally subject to change, but there will always be some form of broadcasting that maybe not the traditional over the air as we see it now.
in its present form. Interestingly enough, a lot of the people who provide money for WIT and PBS were big investors in the Bernie Madoff with their money. So some of that, even for the charity-based groups, is missing. K2RWK, please.
Comment until we go, Rich.
Go ahead, Rich. I've got a comment. Rich first.
Okay, well, I can agree that people are out of work, don't have the money. That's a temporary situation, I hope. Hopefully, Obama will get the economy going again, I hope. But I think you're overstating the cost of what is it called, fight pay TV. Fight TV is, if I cut it to the bone and just have the HD, it's $29 for the basic package, $10 for the HD. So you're looking at $39 plus taxes. It, you know, you, I think you said $100 and something dollars. I still understand where somebody who's out of work might not want to spend $40 a month, but it's nowhere near $150 a month.
Where you live, that may be true, Rich. An awful lot of my neighbors are paying those numbers. There was another person with a comment. Who was that? I think you said TFX. Your audio is 20 decibels weaker than it should be. You're going to have to eat the microphone and say it again, and maybe we'll hear you.
Fox on Sierra, the name is Danny. I have Direct TV. It costs $200 for the new box, $35 for the new dish. It costs $10 extra for the UC, and services $45. So with that, it's only $5 a month. Plus with the new equipment this month, it costs no more than $300.
Dick.
Made by BKV comment.
Okay, that previous comment was Danny. Go ahead, Ken.
Yes, the delay may be weeks or months. It will not. It will absolutely not be years. Remind you that the government has sold off those upper TV channels, and new users are going to want to take it. The TV stations are paying big, big, big bucks because they are paying power rent on two towers. They're maintaining two transmitters and the electric bills for two transmitters. The TV stations have great motivation to shut it down. K5BKB.
Hey, Kent, a point well taken. Yeah, we forgot about the cash flow of maintaining two parallel systems for over-the-air broadcast. I'm amazed that you haven't mentioned that one, Eric. KE2EJ, isn't PBS also paying a lot of money to maintain two completely independent over-the-air broadcast systems? K2RAW listening?
K2RAW, K2EJ. Well, that's an interesting thing. But, you know, I was always figured into the transition, but interestingly enough, the way Fire had worked is you paid big money for your analog transmitting antenna, and as we slowly make it to this date, you pay nothing on your analog transmitting antenna, and you pay your big money on your digital transmitter. But you really need the expense of having had two transmitters, one which you may be throwing away, one which may not be usable, and it means that like WNET, was that you might have wanted to have that transmitter that's on 61 transmitter on 13. That's not happening. So, interestingly enough, the existing transmitter has been modified for digital. We've had two of them, two 30-kilowatt transmitters, you know, side by side.
you converted one to digital, which you're going to test in about 2 hours.
Let's see, it's in about, two and a half hours,
we're going to turn that on, and see how that'll, and then after the transition, we'll then, of course, modify the one, the existing one analog, and turn that into digital, and then there'll be the backup system. I will wind up with the little transmitter that they have and bring it out to Long Island, and that'll be Channel 21's backup. But, you know, you can't try it. I mean, who wanted to spend that money for two transmitters? Chilly.
Okay. Anyone with any further comments before Mel goes to his mailbag? We're going to try again. Give me a call with us right now.
Yeah, one other comment for you, Director Uzik. You asked a while ago if these DTV converters allowed you to manually input the channel. They absolutely do. You can actually put a channel in, even though you can't receive the channel, and wait and see what you get for results. You can absolutely manually enter them in, besides auto scanning.
I'm very glad to hear that. I was getting the impression from what Eric was telling us is that many of the modern brands of digital television converter will scan all the channels, tell you what's there, and then ask you which one of the ones that are there you want to go to. But it was not giving you the ability to say, I don't care if you have found it or not, please go to channel 21 right now and give it your best try while I switch the antenna. I was getting the impression that you almost could not do that. You're giving me the impression you can, and I'm glad to hear that. It's kind of obvious that would eventually come about. It's a little bit like what happened in the very early stages of the Apollo program or the Mercury program. In the very beginning, the space capsule was not going to have a window. The astronaut was not going to be able to look out the window and find out what's going on. He'd have to look at his instrumentation. These guys were pilots. Their tradition is they look out the window for situation awareness. They don't trust the instruments all the time. They can go haywire and you got nothing. And so by the same token, you can get a computer-operated radio system, which is more and more automated. But at some particular point, the user is going to say, hell no, I won't go. Stop. You've done too much of it. I want some control. They're going to insist on that. And we will be voting with our pocketbook. The guy who has the converter out there that allows you to directly go to the channel and sit there while you switch the antenna, he's the one that's going to sell more converters. That's an opinion. Hey, Mel, what kind of mail have you had this week? K2KEY, K2LIW in the tech net.
Hey, Jake, I said it depended on the receiver, and also if you go to the setup menus, it'll let you stay on one channel.
Beautiful. Glad to hear that. Mel?
This is K2KEY. I'm going to make the final comment. Yeah, it's nice. I found that was a great feature of this cable box, this converter box. I could punch in on the hand unit directly onto the channel I want to go to. I'll tell you one thing. I like the way Kent said that the delay in going to HD will be proportional to how many people will be up in arms. Gotta get a call to from the mother of a senator or a congressman. What did you do to my TV? Well, let me tell you something, Jake. Do you want to be the person that's going to stand here in Sheepshead Bay in front of Senator Sipowicz's office when on February 17th, when these senior citizens make the attack on the place? There's going to be a mob being there. Would you like to be the one standing there explaining that it's going to be inconvenient for a while, but this is all going to work out? Think you want to volunteer? Over.
Let me think about that one, Mel. Go ahead.
Lewis. Because the answer is I would get. I don't even want to be associated with it. So I have a feeling how that is going to be a delay. Oh, it's going to be a delay because I'm telling you, these are the people that do the voting. You know, these people go to the polls, they vote, and they go to the senior citizens' places, the congressmen and senators, when they want to.
them apart. They'll ask questions and all. Young people haven't got no time for it. Lucky if they do show up to vote. But they're going to have to come up with answers, and I don't think they're going to come up with... I don't know what they're going to say, but I don't want to be around to tell you the truth. All right, so we... let's finish up a few more things from last week. Got some very positive responses from what we did last week with those drawings that we made, went through, you know, how